Hey everyone, this is Mike, and thanks for joining us here on the Pastor's Update podcast. Today's audio was recorded at the partner meeting on Sunday, June 27th, 2021, and includes updates from Justin and me in a Q&A session with our partners. Partnership is our word for membership and is the process of becoming a contributor to the mission of One Hope Church. You can learn more about partnership by completing a Next Steps form at onehope.info. Hope you enjoy the audio. Thanks again for listening.
All right. Hello, partners. Wow. Hello, partners on the right half of the room. What about the left half? It's like divided right down the middle. I don't hear a lot of energy over here. Well, hello to all of you. We are so glad that you have made time for this, and we want to honor your time today. What I want to do to begin is introduce ourselves just to make sure, and now, there's a few people here. This is your first partner meeting, and so we're really grateful that you've given us your time. Yeah, come on, let's celebrate that. And if you're our guest and you're not a partner, we want you to know a partner is someone, right, who's said yes to the church and to the mission that God has for us, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. I am Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. Justin, also one of the pastors. I think we know most of you in the room, but I also want to introduce our elders. We'll start down here with Walt Belke right here, John Baxter, Rich Miller, and Carrie Hagan. And Carrie's going to come and open our time in prayer.
Lord, thank you that we can be together as family. I want to pray your blessings over our time today, that the communication would be good, that we'd be encouraged. Lord, bless us, Lord, so that we can be a blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, throughout 2020, a lot of what we spent time doing as a team was trying to strategize around reactivity. Did any of you feel like you were dealing with some reactivity in 2020? One of the great defenses against reactivity is plurality. And so as a team of men, we were seeking God all through 2020 to make decisions. But as 2021 began, you know, maybe you've heard this differentiation in how to look at the COVID pandemic. You know, a lot of people thought it was an interruption, but what really we see now and what we are choosing to see it as a leadership team is as a disruption, not a disruption that is from man, but something where God is going to use it to reshape and to reframe where we're going. And so a lot of where 2021 began and has continued to this day is a lot of deep, in-depth conversation among our team about where we're headed and who we are as a church. And so as we started that conversation, it really comes back to, Justin, why are we here in the first place?
Good question, Mike.
Yeah.
As Mike said, the elders, we've been spending a lot of time really assessing what happened in 2020, what we added. As you know, we went online and all that stuff. And as we come out of that, you know, who are we now? And every church is asking this question, what now? We're in this weird, is the pandemic over? Kind of, maybe, maybe not. Things are coming back to normal. But as we've thought and prayed and talked about this, I mean, it really does come down to the simplicity of why we're here as the church, and it's to be a disciple-making church. It's what Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, and it's what has kept the church going for the last 2,000 years. And so if there's anything we want to major on as a church, as a leadership, it is to make disciples. And so we've talked a lot about what that means. And of course, we have to understand what a disciple is, because I think when we hear discipleship, maybe we think there's a curriculum that we go through with someone, but discipling is really all of life. And a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, who's being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. That's Matthew 4:19. And so what we want to do is just really double down and be committed to that. And we see it, again, not as an obligation to disciple, but as a joy. If you read the parables of the kingdom, right, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure buried in a field, and a man finds it. And what does he do? He sells everything because he knows the value of the kingdom. And that's the heart we're looking for of a disciple. Not that someone feels like we have to do this, but it's a joy to advance God's kingdom. And so we just want to be super intentional about how we're doing that. And we believe the best way to make disciples is to be a disciple yourself. And so one word that we keep talking about a lot is intentionality. So, Mike?
Yeah, and intentionality, I mean, you might have heard that a lot of what John was preaching on today was about being intentional with your life and intentional with your time, intentional with your connectivity with God and your commitments to God. And so we want you to know that as leaders, but We're also partners. First, we are partners before we are leading anything. That part of what we've partnered in is to be intentional. We want to be a people that in 2020, this really guided us of all the rails that we had, which were not many, right, to go on. Intentionality was a big one because we were able to say with every decision that we made, why are we doing this? Is there a reason behind it and a purpose behind it? And I can say, I think with pretty solid confidence that as a team, we didn't act on anything or do anything or spend any money without intention. And that's something that I'm proud to stand up here and say, but we want to continue to do that. And we really want to invite you into that. We want to encourage you to be intentional. And that's a lot of why we're here.
Right. And so we want to just ask the question of everything we do, how does this help us to make disciples? Now, when we say disciples, we mean making new believers. We mean maturing and multiplying disciples. And we believe that's the call of every believer. And we want to lead towards that. And so we want to mature disciples. And maturing disciples will multiply disciples. Again, out of a heart of joy. And so we want to grow because we believe healthy things grow. And we want God to advance his kingdom, and he's going to do that through all of us as partners. And so we would love, I think we have, there's probably 140, 150 people that would call One Hope Church home. And we were talking earlier this week, and what if everyone just committed, hey, who's one person over the next year that I could invite into the church? If every one of us did that, just one person, we would double. And it's not about having a big church, but it's about multiplying disciples in our lives. And so we want to be a part of that. And we think about Easter, for example, as the easiest time to invite someone to church, right? If there's any time you can invite someone to church, it's Easter. And we want to say, let's be intentional about that. What if that starts now? What if we don't get to April and we say, okay, I know I got to invite someone. This is going to be awkward. How do I do this? And we feel this obligation. What if we had that in our vision now, that we're building the relationships now? So when the time comes, it's so natural. You've already done the work of relationship. And you get two opportunities before Easter to try it out. You get Christmas Eve, which is another great time to invite people. And then you get what we're going to bring back more formally, which is just our Vision Sunday. And so, Mike, tell us about that.
Yeah, how many of you even know what we're talking about, Vision Sunday? We're here, cross point days into that time. And so what that used to be and what we hope it will be even more so is kind of a flag in the sand to say, here's what our vision is, our vision of making disciples, but here's our mission, and we're all going to join in that moment together. And so August, September time, we're going to put that back on the calendar, and that's going to be hopefully a big celebratory moment. And we really want that to be, I think we want to start with one, but we really would like to see that return to an annual rhythm. And so one of the reasons we're sharing this with you now is because the rest of the church will hear this, you know, and hear this idea of anything that we're going to bring. And a lot of what I want to just say is that we're still working through the summer on clarity of specific vision that hopefully on that day is more concrete. But we need you to be behind it. We need you to be about bringing that energy and inviting people into that process and inviting people into something there in the fall. And so I'm excited about Vision Sunday. I think it's a great mile marker kind of for that ministry season. You know, summer, we're all going different directions. We understand that. But as he just mentioned about Easter, and back to that intentionality thing, right? What would it look like if we didn't just react to, oh yeah, the month of April or whenever Easter is in 2022, you know, we've got to do a big Easter thing. No, what if we were thinking about that as far as now? And so that's really where in the partnership process we think it begins is now.
And looking to the Vision Sunday, I mean, I know I'm looking forward to getting back on the volleyball court and probably hurting myself like I seem to do every year. But this has been a great time for us just to get together, have a meal, invite people in. And the last few times we've done this, people from the park have just come in and joined us. Some of them have joined the church. And so this is even an opportunity to invite people into who we are as a church. And one of the things we want to get back to now that COVID is maybe over is getting back on campus and doing some outreach there. First week of class is a great time to go up and table. And so we want to lead you in that and want to invite you, if you're free during the week, to come join us out and just invite people to One Hope. And this is just, again, we're passionate about UCF, the next generation of leaders, yeah. And we just want to reach out to them, again, being intentional.
Yeah, and one thing I can just feel that is in the room is obviously there's a question here about a future home and a future building. Why didn't we lead with that? Why didn't we talk about that first? I think it's really important, Justin, right, that we understand that our mission is so much bigger than a physical space. Making disciples is the ultimate call of the Christian, of the person that's following Jesus. And so whether we have a permanent space or not, that mission and that vision remains. And we desire and want to see in the future that that's really separated from that in some ways. At the same time, we know that's a tool that we've talked about. I'm sure we'll get question about that. But I think it's important that you know that one of the reasons we're trying to cast some clarity about inviting people and those things is that we do need to see growth for us to be able to sustain that hope on the future. We are very careful and want to be very careful not to set out there some arbitrary number and pursue any kind of number, right, Justin? Because that's not really the success marker of a church. But I do believe that we want to say that that almost doubling that growth in size would really help us to be able to move in that direction more practically when it comes to monthly expenses and monthly sustaining of that. We are still looking and still searching, but that's just been what we've kind of encountered in our last few months of examining that. So I don't know if you want to add more to that.
I would definitely say we still believe and are praying for that. I mean, we spent 150 days as a church praying for that. And just to remind you, just because God did not answer that after 150 days doesn't mean he won't answer that. Like, let's not count the Lord as slow to fulfill his promises. Not that he's promised us that, but I think for us, we prioritized, okay, like, where are we at as a leadership team? Before we, like, really push intentionally to find a building, let's make sure we're all aligned and we get the vision, we know what we're doing. And then, you know, when God blesses us with that, awesome, let's do that. And just to come back and say, even, you know, we think about Easter, it's really not even about inviting people to church, right? Ultimately, we want you guys and us to invite people to Christ. That's what this is all about. We, as John was saying this morning, we intentionally gather to worship God together because that does something for us on Sunday mornings. It is good to worship the Lord together. And so we're going to keep doing that. But what we'd like to see is transitioning now as we talk about, you know, how are we going to do that? How are we going to make disciples? And we're committed to a plurality of leadership. Mike and I are co-pastors here, and so we're working together. And as I said last week, we're very different, and that's a really good thing. And so as the leadership, we take Ephesians 4 seriously. It says we're here to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so moving forward, how do we do this? That's what we're going to be focusing on. Okay, how do we go about equipping people to make disciples and capturing that vision of the kingdom that is like treasure in a buried field, that is like that pearl of great worth? Because that's the only thing that's going to sustain us as believers, right? We don't do this because we have to, but because we love the Lord, and we so want other people to experience that. We want that to be our heart.
Yeah, just one thing on that. I mean, I think I just want to make a note that what John spoke about today was how strategic this morning gathering is in light of equipping, right? We put effort and energy into it, not because we're trying to just make this big event, but we're trying to pool resources and time and effort, and all of you that serve and give your time throughout this building, right? We're doing that together to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? And so don't see what we come to gather as like extracurricular, right? There's a centralness to that. At the same time, we believe that the church is not a time or a place or a building. And so we have more to do throughout the week.
And just to camp in Ephesians 4, because it's the book about the church. And Ephesians 4 in particular is so instructive. And so it says, leadership, equip the saints. And it ends on this. I mean, this is our goal. This is what we want to see. This is what we believe the church is. Ephesians 4:16, when each part, each member, is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now that's depth and that's breadth. Because I do believe a mature disciple is someone who is making more disciples. I think that's a biblical pattern. And so we want to be about that. We want to do it from a gospel centrality, from a heart of love. And so this is our mission as a church. It's been the mission since the 12 disciples. Nothing's changed. Context has changed. Time has changed. What does that look like for us? And who are we called to reach? And so let me just close on a couple thoughts here. Where we get our name is from Ephesians 4, right? Let me read this to you. Paul says, "They therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." That's all of us. We have been called. "With all humility and gentleness, with all patience, bearing with one another in love." You guys hear that? Bearing with one another in love. I know we don't always get along. The elders, we don't always get along. And that's okay. We bear with one another in love. Eager to maintain unity. Is there anything our culture needs more than unity right now? Only the church can provide this unity because we're unified around the cross. unified in the spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so this isn't us. This isn't the elders. This isn't leadership saying we're going to do this. This is saying we're going to do this together because we're the church and we're going to help equip. That's what Mike and I are on staff for. We get paid to help equip the saints, and your elders who work in full-time jobs have a heart to equip and disciple. We had a father's event on Friday. It's wonderful. Multiple generations in the room. Opportunities for discipling there. So anyways, we don't want to talk the whole time. We want to share a little bit of what we've been talking about, our hearts. We want to open it up to questions that you may have, comments on anything we've said. Unless, Mike, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, just that our elders are sitting right up here, and so they'll chime in. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So we've set up two microphones here, and I'll just say on the front end of this that if we run out of time, we will put we've got an email ready to go on the slides at the end. We're going to honor your time. And so what questions do you have for your leadership, for the church? Nothing is off limits. It's been a while since we've been together.
What'd you say, David?
Thank you.
I mean, we could just do an early lunch.
But questions also don't mean you don't trust us, by the way. So let's not let that just be the shut off of the questions. So questions are okay. Thank you, David.
Comments? Wesley, I'd expect nothing less.
So as far as discipleship's concerned, I know I've been a part of that and am currently a part of that. Towards that end, as far as leaning into current believers in the church and discipling them, is there a structure we'll kind of be going through? I know we've developed some stuff in the past. Is there going to be a model that we're kind of following, or is it kind of just up to whoever's leading the group?
Yes. All right, no. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the best place we can look for a model of discipling is to look to the Gospels and to look, how did Jesus do this? And so that's where we want to start as we go, what sort of system would we put in place? And you know, with discipling, you can go overstructured or you can go understructured. And what we want to find is a balance of what does this look like? Because so much of it's organic in the moment, but we do need some structure. So we've been talking about that. That's one of the main things we're going to be focusing on as we continue to meet over the summer. I've got a lot of ideas of some material I think would be helpful and a way that we could approach that, but we have not yet come to consensus on here's what we're going to adopt. So I'll just say it's something that we are going to be talking about for the next couple months as we do this. And hopefully by the fall we'll have...
Yeah, I think we're hoping that kind of thing is clear for Vision Sunday. I think I would go that far to say that Vision Sunday would be hopefully more rich with the productivity from our summer and our continued time. We've spent a lot of hours. I mean, I just want to thank these men who have volunteered their time. I mean, we're on staff, but these men have volunteered hours of time that you don't see behind the scenes. And I know you might hear that, and normally our meeting schedule is Wednesday mornings, but they've been putting in a lot of hours in the evenings for these long, long meetings. And so I think that's worth being thankful for and celebrating in them, and that's going to continue as long as we need to get the clarity that we need. So. I'll say on that note just one quick thing and then more questions. Let them come. Scott is right over here, and I forgot this in my intro, but Scott served for a long time as one of our primary elders through a lot of transition, and we are grateful because he completed his 5-year term and then some of being on our elder team. And so that's why you aren't seeing him sitting over here. I think that's why he threw me off, because I was like, I can remember him if he's right there in line. But can we just appreciate Scott for the service to the church? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. That transition happened a few months ago. And so
kind of May-ish.
Yeah. And so we had a celebration as elder team. I think we were still in the place of minimal in-person gatherings. And so that was some of what we
I think, lost in that time. So questions, comments, we want to hear from you. Curious about anything?
You might want to know how often Mike gets his hair cut.
Justin.
it's a running joke for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things we could...
Well, I think you saw we had some data slides up there. If you had any questions budget-wise, where we're at, numbers, groups, all that stuff. Any questions about any of that? I mean, if you have any follow-up questions on the building, what does that look like for us? How are we looking for that? What do we want to do?
And we've got these two staff positions that are currently being searched for. And so if you got questions about that, I mean, there's a lot that we could have filled this time with probably, but I hope that what we're communicating is that your voices matter. Nothing is pressing.
I guess that's a good thing.
I'll ask a question. As a mother as a mother of four wonderful young children, and some of them getting into the middle school, high school age, I was just wondering what the vision for kids is, especially as they transition to this age group, since we don't have a lot for them right now. What is the vision for the kids as far as like discipleship?
Yeah. Do you want to?
We want to disciple the generations, and we've been in this weird spot for as long as we've existed with the youth age. When parents tend to get to that age, they tend to leave, and then we're kind of back at zero. And so the first thing I'll say is we absolutely are going to be intentional about what that looks like. And, we have Holly and Wesley who've been doing a great job, just took a couple kids on a camp, which is a little seedling of a start. They're doing these summer meetups, which is a little seedling of a youth. And so we've always had this problem. We don't have the youth, so how do we get them? And one of the things we're talking about is, as we look at the positions we have to hire, is one of those a youth person to really help build this up and put some time and energy to this? I mean, those are honest questions we're going to come to an answer on, because we do think the opportunity is there, and we want to be, just I keep saying, intentional. We want to pour into this because we recognize it's been such a deficit for our church for so many years, and we want to fix that.
Yeah, I know that doesn't give total clarity, but I think what I would add to that for sure is that coming back to that disruption interruption thing, I know for me personally, like when I'm looking and talking to you right now, for me personally, 2020 was a disruption, and it was a disruption that for a while created chaos, right? But then I started to realize, like, how could we look at things differently than we've ever looked at them before? And that is currently part of the process I think we're in the middle of right now. After weeks and weeks of meeting, I think what he's saying too is that we might have a position out there. You know, we know that Holly's going to be finishing that in the end of the summer, August time. And so we're trying to hire someone for that position, but we're also not saying that's the job description that we're just going to fill. I think we're holding in a big part of that tension of what you're talking about. What are we going to do with older kids? We're not just trying to, you know, minister to this younger generation. And I would love to see us, I really don't know how. I don't know how to get ahead of it, but I would love to get ahead of it. I would love for it to be just a place where we're already thinking about those things and figuring out a solution. But I know from my own personal experience in youth ministry as a kid, we just kind of took it for granted that it was already there. And so the boot up has been something I think we've tried three times in different ways. And I think we're wanting to say, all right, is this now a new way to look at this? Maybe include some finances, right? And includes this position. So I'm not making any commitments there or promises, but I think I would just say very much that's on the table as part of the conversation we're having, is how do we reach the next generation better? So... anyone?
Come on, Kelsey.
That's a challenging one. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi. This format's really scary. One of the things that we've talked about in our small group a lot is the kids ministry and the kids director position. And just from our perspective, so I admit that we definitely don't know everything, but it seems like the kids director position can be a little unsustainable and asking a lot for someone who's working a part-time role. So we've had some different ideas of, you know, when we were in between Cassie and Holly, we had leads, and we thought that that would be something that could be maybe kind of take off some of the pressure of the director, but just if there's any way that we could have more conversation about how to kind of spread that load. I feel like there hasn't been much of a platform to kind of share thoughts for supporting kids ministry.
Yeah, I would say we want to hear those thoughts. I mean, very much, you don't have to share them right now if you're turning around like, come on. Yeah. But like, yeah, I think we'd love for you to send those to us if you're thinking about those things. But I think even in what I was saying to Emily, you know, we are, correct me, gentlemen, if I'm wrong, we are willing to think outside of any box. And so I think we're recognizing that and things that, you know, it's kind of a multifaceted thing, both the care of future generations that are coming right out of our church, right? So a couple years ago when we tried to do the youth thing, there weren't students here. Now we're creating them, right? And so that's a good thing. We want to be ahead of that. And so in the same way, I mean, is that, if we're talking about a person feeling overloaded or like not spread out enough, how are we going to add anything onto that? And so what I'm saying in no certain terms whatsoever is I think we're evaluating, you know, can this be a part-time position anymore? Or can this be, I mean, what is the question? So I think there's no clarity there. I don't want to make commitments that we don't know about, but we are having that conversation, right, gentlemen? And so it's kind of all on the table, and we're trying to figure out what is the best way to intentionally, right, use the resources that are limited. We're trying to hold this in the reality of the other things that we desire to see happen, right? Not that we would put, I don't think we would put these things in competition, but, you know, if we're talking about facilities and things like that, well, it's like, well, do we grow kids ministry more with safer places for people to meet? It's a hard one. So we're trying to wrestle over, I think, all that. I don't know if you anything to add to that or any of you.
No, I mean, I just affirm that. I think, you know, we're big on team leadership here from the top down. So in the kids ministry, that's just another facet of, okay, what could that look like? And you're right. When we were in that transition and we bumped it down to, I think, three or four people to kind of lead different aspects. And I think that's good, but I also don't think that's sustainable without, you know, a director of some sort to do that, which is not what you're saying. But I think we're open to both of those, and I'm sure Holly is as well. So yeah. Hey, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi. So I wanted to say thank you for leading our church through the pandemic. I think it's really exciting that we added new members. Even during that. And my community group was talking about community in our church last week, and just like the lunch meetings that we used to do like right after church. And also, like, I know a long time ago we used to have like women's gatherings and stuff like that. I mean, we still had them, but like a little different. So I was wondering, like, even as we were talking about it, like I thought like the solution is, like I said, like, you know, the two people can't do everything, which is like probably something that you guys have said before. So when it comes to, like, if we people in the church want to do stuff like that, like, how do we execute that? Is that something you guys want to put back on us if we're, like, interested in doing it to make it happen? Yeah.
First thing I would say is what the elders have been working so hard on is what is the main reason we're here? And so if we want to do something like that, which is not bad, and anything, any suggestions, if we want to do that, we want to ask, how does that help us make disciples? And so not that any of those things don't, but let's ask a question and connect the dots. And so I would say you're right, like Mike and I are not going to be leading all these things. We're interested in equipping leaders to lead those things. And so I say the first step is let's have a conversation. Hey, we'd like to do that. What might that look like? And ultimately, for any of the areas, any of the mysteries in the church, they need leadership. They need people that are passionate about whatever that is, and to come and talk with the leadership, and we'll sort it out and say, yes, this aligns with what we think our mission as a church is, or no, this doesn't. And even if it's a no, that doesn't mean you can't pursue those things on your own. But it does mean, as a church, we can't do everything. You try to do everything for everyone, you end up doing nothing. And so we want to come to greater clarity on here's what we're here for. And if this aligns with what we want to do, let's do it, let's get behind it, let's help that. But it is, at the end of the day, leaders that are passionate about whatever area are going to be the ones to help lead that charge. And we want to get behind and support whoever that is, as long as there's alignment. So I don't know. Is there anything you'd add?
Just affirming the beauty of those things. You know, I specifically think of the Connect lunches, and those were well received. I think if any of you are in here because of them, I really wouldn't doubt it, because we had great connections there. Obviously, you have COVID hurdles. I think that what I would say, just a note on that, you know, here we are sitting in here, you know, some masks, some not, you know, in person gathering right now. We just want you to know that, like, we aren't declaring COVID is over, right? Like, we know there's still a reality out there, and we don't know what the next day brings. And so in some ways, we're still, I would even say, holding back a little from ever declaring. And I think I want to come back to my same thing I've been saying. We're not probably going to say, hey, it's all back the way it was. I think we want to say, what is God trying to get us to look to in the future? And so I'm not saying that to shoot that idea down. I just think, in general, there would be that kind of hesitation of, like, are we ready for that yet? Are people ready to collaborate on that? I think that's one of the reasons that Connect stuff in particular has remained secondary, because we don't know where that safety line is. And then the other thing you said, yeah, I think leadership is one thing, but then we have to recognize, as a partnership, not putting this on Justin and I to be the ones, the gatekeepers or anything. That's not our role, right? But we want to say, let's assess the reality that we have limited resources, right? Does anyone like to admit that to themselves? I don't, that I have limited resources. Well, in a family, if we're a family of people that are limited in our resources and in our leadership, we have to pursue the things that not only align, but actually help us get down the field in some ways. And we're going to have to say, in a lot of ways, no to really good things to be able to do the best things for everyone. And I think, in light of new ideas, we do have, you know, we're rebooting our serving teams and different initiatives that we're just trying to do on a weekly basis that I know need team members, you know, and there are still pockets of people that are not able to come in person that are hampering some of those original core teams from being able to do what they really dream to do. And I think I would just add that we're all in a symbiotic system together.
So one thing I'll just add, one of the things I love about this church is we'll have people just step up and do those things. So there have been people that actually have been meeting somewhat regularly, going out to lunch. We have made that public because, you know, we want to be, you know, discerning in what we say. But if that's something you desire, I would say, talk to some people and go out to lunch. We don't have to say that from the stage for that to happen. And some of you do that, but just to say, we want that. I mean, this church is, I think this church is big on community. We love that. We know to connect. So, yeah, so that's the last thing I'll say on that.
Hi, Wesley.
Hello. I'm not really certain on this one. That's why I'm asking. So I know a big thing is community, and I know our church has a lot of families in it. One of the challenges that comes with community and families is kids, and, like, how do you manage that? Are most of the families here in community groups? And if not, like, is there any ideas, or, because I know that's just always been a challenge, is when you have kids, how do you get together as adults and actually have those? And so I just don't know any of those things. So I'm just curious.
Off the top of my head, I couldn't give you a percentage. Maybe half are attending some kind of group. And I think you're right. This has been the challenge. Another thing we've been trying to crack the code for years on, how do families with kids do community? And this is one of the things I think we're going to be talking about. But, you know, just, you know, one of the ideas that I've had, and I talked about with the dads on Friday, and we'll talk about we have a group leader training for group leaders in a couple weeks, is how can we do community different in families in particular? Because it's so hard to get, you know, kids running around, to have any kind of in-depth conversation is really hard. One really easy solution to that, I think, is, you know, what if the dads got together, just the dads, a couple times a month? What if the moms just got together a couple times a month? And then you all get together maybe once a month, and it's complete chaos. But that's the beauty of being in together. So it's just, I think it's a shift in intentionality. How can we actually move towards discipling one another? And this may be one suggestion, and I think about my own life, is that sustainable? Could I do that? I think I could, because if I'm just meeting with some dads or some guys, that gives me some flexibility. It doesn't have to be Tuesday night at 7 every week. But we can say, hey, why don't we do a morning thing? Or we could shift it around. And that would allow me to say, well, why don't I stay home with the kids, and now my wife can go meet with the moms or the women? We could do that. And then let's just intentionally plan a time together once a month. That's one way that I think families could move towards that. That would be more sustainable than what we've tried. And so we'll see how the group leaders think about that, and if we want to move towards that direction coming into the fall. So that's one thought I have. I don't know.
Just connecting the dots back to, if you haven't been in this space when we've talked about facility, that's one of the main heartbeats, I think, behind a facility is not just to make a comfortable space for us to come gather once a week, right, to be able to have auxiliary space. You know, our office has been this nice little taste. You know, I know that the moms group that was meeting before the pandemic, you know, they really met because they had a space for childcare, and it wasn't perfect at all. It was a conference room, you know, not designed for kids to be in there. It was chaotic sometimes to work from the office. But I think that for us, that's part of one of the primary visions of that space. And I think, again, not seeing that as, you know, the promised land for us. The promised land is not a permanent building, right? We have a better promised land in heaven. The lights just went out.
All right, meeting's up. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
we have a better promised land, but like we have, it can be a tool, and we want to approach it that way and say, how can we just maximize that thing? And I think that's one of those practical barriers to what you're talking about, is physical spaces where kids feel safe. And, you know, as they do it in homes, you know, back when we were trying to crack this code years ago, it was like only the people that had these pretty large homes with like multiple separated spaces could really sustain that. And it was just really challenging. And so we want to realize that we're probably not ever going to solve the challenge of doing that, and that the kids are worth that effort. But those are just some of my thoughts on that. So.
And maybe one of you has the answer. And let's talk about it, you know? Thanks for being honest, Shirley. Did you say it's intimidating to come up to this mic? Kelsey. Thanks, Kelsey. So if you're feeling intimidated, I would just encourage you to step up to the mic. Because we do want to hear from you. I mean, this is, I know our partner meetings, especially in November, it just feels like dump, 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 dump. Here's all the information. Let's vote on the budget. And it's like, ugh. So we want to move towards more of a discussion with you guys. So, or any elders want to share anything? All right.
I'll share one thing on future endeavors. Nobody's asked about it, but we have a good sum of money in future endeavors, and over the last 18 months, we've had some gifts come in, and so that's grown by an additional $30,000+. So that's our fund that we're looking at as far as future building and other things. So that's a good thing that I think should be celebrated. That's one thing I'd like to throw out there. And the other thing about One Hope Kids is that we realize if we're wanting to make disciples, we want to bring people in from lostness and darkness, we want to bring them in to experience Jesus. We know that God does that for us every Sunday. We have anywhere from 20 to 40 little unbelievers in different stages that he brings right here that we're bringing in ourselves. And so, you know, that's not lost on us. So One Hope Kids is definitely a priority for us. And as those kids are aging, we do see that we're getting closer to the teens. We've got a couple already. And so that is something that we have had active discussions about as far as how are we going to staff for that? How are we going to take care of that? And how are we going to continue our disciple making for that generation of people? So it is important to us.
Yeah, I think it's worth celebrating, which we did not do when Walt said it, but like celebrating the increase of future endeavors, because we want you to hear that that has happened over the last year, which, yeah, I got some clap going over there. Jill, I saw you. That's right. Come on, let's just clap for it now. And we just want to continue to say to all of you that are already giving, that are already serving, that are fulfilling that commitment that you've made through a very challenging year, we are really thankful. Seriously, thank you for continuing in that faithfulness. And we also want to make sure that you're hearing, right, that as we talk about growth, as we talk about these things, this isn't like, hey, you all go and figure that out, right? But at the same time, we're all, like, swallow that a little bit as an individual and say, I'm an individual partner here. What role can I play in that? And that doesn't mean, you know, when we talk about finances, that you just magically come up with more money, right? But find some other people that you can invite, not from the lens of trying to bring in more givers, but let's make disciples. And when they come in and they find that Jesus is the best thing for them ever, then hopefully they open their hands and we're generous with everything that God's given them. And so, yeah.
Amen. All right. 9 minutes, 25 seconds. Cheyenne.
I have a small small comment slash question going back to the parent community groups, kind of going into like what Holly wants to do with our midweek meetups for the kids. I know that it's more sustainable or something with the larger churches where they have like weekly meetups for the kids where the kids can get together, have their own church kind of worship midweek, and that kind of opens it up as not only are the kids being poured into, but this is a time where not only are the kids getting poured into, but the parents can step out and be pour into each other. And so just kind of a comment that if that's something we could look into, establishing a midweek for the kids, that might help support parents as a place for them to I've already said it, have the children poured out into and have pour into each other. So
yeah, I love that idea, and I love, you know, Holly and Wesley really spearheading that over this summer. And I think what makes it doable right now is, you know, during the day at the Y, and as Mike has talked about, that would be a whole lot easier if we had a facility that we could just say, bring kids in here, parents can go do whatever they want, and there's a lot of churches around here that are able to do that. And so I think it's just for us, until God brings us that, okay, what could that look like? Could that still happen at the park? Maybe. Maybe it could. But yeah, I'm interested in, that's kind of the next step, I think, of building whatever our youth is going to be, is starting with, you know, the small amount that we have and establishing something regular and then praying and watching God grow that. Hey, Holly.
Hi, Holly.
Hello. Hi. I lost my voice a little over camp, so sorry about that. So Kelsey and Shirley were talking about having ideas and stuff. What is the best way to communicate that with y'all, with the elders, whoever? Because I know there's a few emails and there's a few different ways, but what's the best way to get those ideas brought to the table?
You said what was the best way to get the ideas? Like she had.
Yeah. Who should they reach out to if anyone has ideas like that, or anyone has ideas that I know for kids ministry? I'd love, like, if you have any ideas, please email me. But what's the best way for all the other ideas to be brought to the table?
I mean, I think that if it needs to truly be brought to all of us, I mean, we're going to share this out there at the end, or just, it's right there. I mean, further questions, you could kind of go there, and that comes to all of us. I do think there's a value in, you know, if you already know what area that's in, you know, specifically for you, like, I'm going to turn that back around and advertise for Holly for a second, right? So, like, if you've got a kid's idea, I think holly@wehaveonehope.com is a great place to send that. Now, you could share that with us, but in some ways, you know, if you know what that is, if you don't know what that is, I think more than welcome just to start by sending it to all of us. But yeah, if it's something related to any of the things, you know, that we kind of oversee, I think we're inviting that individually and as a group.
Yeah, I'd say probably start at the lowest level. So if you have an idea for, you know, something that we could, you know, welcome people on Sundays, start with the welcome team. If you don't know who that is, you can ask us, you can email us. Maybe you don't, or maybe we could publicize that somewhere so you do know where to go. And then as that works up at different levels of acceptance, oh yeah, the welcome team says, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Let me bring that up to Mike, who oversees that. And then we can start to strategize, okay, what could that actually look like? And for us, like, and I know the elders, we've been working a lot on just some philosophy of ministry stuff. And I think that's made it hard to move certain ideas down the field so far this year. And my hope is that when we get the clarity that I think we're getting close to, it's going to be such a helpful filter for some of these ideas and what that will look like. And we'll be able to focus the time that we need to on some of those ideas to push them forward or to continue to talk about them together. And so I think that's just another thing I would say. The greater clarity we get on our purpose, our mission, is going to help inform whether these ideas are going to align with that or not. And again, just to say, there's a lot of good ideas that we're not going to be able to do because we can't do everything. But that doesn't want to deter you from sharing those ideas with us, and, you know, let's work together as partners to move the mission forward. Four minutes, 35 seconds. Hey, Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Come on down.
Just a more comment. Holly has made a huge difference in our family, and I just wanted to publicly thank her for her work.
Yeah.
She's been amazing.
Are you crying, Holly? So Holly just took a couple kids, trucked them up, what, 10 hours? Wesley and Holly, 10 hours up to North Carolina for a camp. They said it went really, really good. It was a lot of fun. So she has been doing a lot. All right, going once. Going twice. Last chance. Sold. Oh, sorry, Emily. Just kidding.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, again. I would like to echo Margaret's comment, and Holly and Wesley have been amazing working with the kids. No, it's true. It's true.
Yes.
They've shown a lot of care and appreciation, and they're in our community group, too, and with the whole Wednesday morning thing. But I also wanted to ask about, with the whole kids thing, because my gears are turning, and I'm trying to figure this all out, but, like, would it be possible for some of us parents or even Wesley and Holly to sit in on some of the meetings with the elders to talk about vision for the kids or for other things that we might be interested in? Is it like how, I know she asked about when you have comments or things you want to do, who to talk to, but what if we want to be a part of ideas or planning? Is there a space for that or what would that look like?
I think currently there hasn't been because there hasn't been any formal meeting of that. I think that's something we can consider as far as actually moving it down the field. You know, what does that look like to consult with our parents and let their voices be heard? Because we absolutely want that. Hopefully you know that by now and hear that by now. I've never really thought of that before. I don't think we've had that conversation of doing that. So I think I'd just say taking that as a suggestion right now. So that's okay. That's good.
My other question is, we appreciate all that you do as like the elders and plurality of elders. Sometimes it feels like things can move rather slowly because you have to wait for those meetings for everybody to decide upon things. Is there a way that there could be, I don't know, this is a suggestion. I don't even know how everything works out, so I don't pretend to know all that. And I know it's a lot that you guys do. But sometimes if I personally or someone else has an idea and we bring it before one of you or one of the elders, it can take weeks to get an answer on that. And sometimes we don't have that amount of time or we feel like it's something pressing. I don't know. I don't want to bring up a personal example, but it can feel like very difficult. Is there a way to kind of put some people in charge over certain things so they can make decisions so we can go talk to Walt if we have a question about a particular thing that he might be over, or if we want to do something during the service, we come directly to you, or just so we know who to talk to, or so that might not be take weeks or months to actually have something discussed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
One thing I would say is with every system of leadership, there's pros and cons. And one of the, if you want to call it a con of co-pastoring of shared leadership is everything takes longer. And from everything I've read on models of that, that's just one of the drawbacks because Mike and I have to be super in sync with everything. It's not just one person. And then for some of these things, we're bringing them to the elders. So I would say that's kind of just the first point. Just the model is going to make things slower. And the second thing I would just say to your experience is what I was saying earlier is I think we've been spending so much time at the upper level philosophy of ministry. What are we doing? Why we're doing? That I think once that we get greater clarity on that, that's going to reduce the time because we'll have time to talk about any of these things that we need to. We've been spending a lot of time just talking at the higher level. So we've got to hammer that out to inform these other ideas and decisions. And so hopefully what that means is when there are ideas, if they need to go to the elders, they won't take that long. But I'm also thinking one of the things we want greater clarity on is what can Mike and I just decide? And what do we need to bring to the elders? What don't we? And this is all stuff that just takes time to work through and get clarity on. So it may be, you know, by the fall, Mike and I are very clear on here's what we think we should do and what we shouldn't do, and we can go from there. But the reality is even that we've got to find the time to talk about that. And then again, how does that integrate to our greater mission and what we feel like we're called to? And so, I don't know if you'd add anything to that.
I would just say, yeah, that I'm sorry that was your experience. I mean, that's not what we want at all. There's no system in place, I can say this with total, you know, transparency. There's no system in place to just be a system, to just get in the way. We don't want that. We want to see your ideas and your passions and your heart, all of you, right, as highly valuable to you, but therefore highly valuable to us. And we want to treat every single idea that way at the same time while balancing out the rest of all these things. And so I want to echo that, but also just clarify too, right, that when we don't have clarity, and a lot of this, and let's just take 2020 again, I'm going to blame COVID for a second, right? When we go into a place where there's no roadmap for what it means, like, okay, if I'm in charge of the worship gathering elements, right? Well, what happens when we don't gather? What's the roadmap there? Like, now we have a whole different ball game. We're trying to figure out the production of that. We're trying to, like, what does that look like? Things just change. And so I think that's where we've said we don't want to have to be so reactive and, like, not ready for those changes. We want to come back to core philosophy to then get empowerment, I think, down the chain. And for us, the upper level is the eldership plurality. But then beneath that is Justin and I. And then I think, I know I speak for Justin and I both. We want to push leadership in a responsible way down as far as we possibly can. You know, whether it does, it shouldn't be, it's not that every staff member has to decide on something. That's not our vision where we want to go. We want it to be where, okay, like you just mentioned the welcome team, you know, and we're going to wrap it up. Like the welcome team, right? We want them to make the decisions about, we want them to own that and see that they have ability to give vision to that and give clarity to that. Does that make sense? And so, yeah, sorry that was been the experience, but we're working on that. And I think I take all that to heart and figure out what can I do to get out of the way more, you know, so that people can know Jesus and ideas can come to life. So,
all right, I think we're going to close it. So I'm going to ask Walt to come up here and pray. And I'll just say this verse again, because I think it's helpful, because there are so many good things we can do. And what we want to move towards as a church is Ephesians 4:16. When each part, each member is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
A quick announcement for dismissal after I pray also. If you all will just help us serve the Y today and just leave your chairs where they are. The Y is having a meeting today at 12:45, so they're going to use all the chairs. But we would welcome all of your help to take down the pipe and drape and the stage.
Whatnot. And the kids area as well.
And production as well, too. So thank you. Okay, just pray with me. Father, thank you so much for this church and for every man, woman, and child that you've made a part of it through the blood of Christ. Lord, I'm reminded that your word tells us that unless you're building the house, we are going to labor in vain. You've also told us that we should trust in you with our whole heart, lean not on our understanding, acknowledge you in all of our ways, and that you'll make our path straight. So we ask for that as we're looking to soldier on through 2021 and looking forward to cast vision into 2022. And then lastly, your word promises us that if we commit our plans to you, that they will be established. So, Lord, we give you our plans. Your word also tells us that though we make the plan a journey, you place our steps. So we give you this journey, Lord, and ask that you would have your way in it. You would direct it for your glory and for the blessing of all who are here and those who you will draw through this church to come to know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. In your name I pray. Amen.